Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monty and Mickey, the Geek Pop Culture Podcast. We are continuing today our series on the X-Men movies. Today, we are going to be covering three more in the franchise on our road to. I feel like if Ryan Reynolds was going to name this segment, he would call it like Roadhead to Deadpool or something. Yeah. Something like that. Something really dirty.
Smart ass.
Yeah. But we're going to be covering X-Men, Days of Future Past, Deadpool, and X-Men Apocalypse. And I have seen parts. I've seen Deadpool, but parts of the first one and parts of the last one, but I've never watched them both all the way through.
I've watched both of those all the way through probably 25 times a piece.
Are they just on TV?
But I also have them on DVD. Yeah, but they're on TV a lot of times back to back or just.
Are you talking about Deadpool or?
Deadpool.
Oh,
yeah.
I was talking about X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Some of these movies I haven't seen at all.
Yeah. I had never seen
Deadpool. I've seen more than all the other movies combined.
Right. So. No, sorry. I was talking about Days of Future Past and Apocalypse.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
So I was like, okay, like, again, just like we talked about, like, an excuse to watch these movies that I never would have necessarily had. And I was pleasantly surprised once again. So we'll get into that in a little bit. One little bit disclaimer or thing that I want to talk about real quick that we had talked about previously.
Spoiler alert? Oh, no, these movies have been
Ten years old. At this point, we should just put a spoiler, like a canned like sound bite in the front of every episode that we have. Like, we're going to be talking about something. That you need to watch something.
That you didn't watch 10 years ago, that's on you.
Yeah, right, a movie, yeah. If you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, that's your problem.
I just watched Gone with the Wind yesterday, so.
Yeah, right, no. If you've never seen it.
That movie's like almost 100 years old, so that's not our fault.
Michaela, or our daughter loved, we just randomly started watching Wizard of Oz, and she was like, I want to watch it. She really watched it like 5 times in a row.
Oh, really? She likes it that much?
Yeah.
Well, Gone with the Wind is literally a 4-hour movie.
I didn't realize how
I didn't either.
My grandma's like loves it because she's from Georgia,
right? So. And it's good, but basically, I was a little disgusted because that Scarlett O'Hara is the most spoiled, rotten, self-absorbed yacht on the planet, and I'm like, this is considered a love story and all this crap, and I didn't know what, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Even I knew what it meant, but like, no, they're
the two lines that
they literally are departing, and that's it.
The two lines that because I've never seen the movie, but my mom,
it's freaking 4 hours. I can see why.
My grandma loves it, and
it is a great movie.
The thing that she's quoted the most is, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Right. And the other one is, "As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again."
Yep.
So those are the two, and clearly it's part of.
And those are the two main stars that are saying. Both
maybe we'll cover it in like a 5-episode series since it's 4 hours.
Oh my God!
And I mean, episode an hour.
There's a. I don't remember what it's called, but you know, like 3 or 4 minutes of just music and a screen, and then there's an intermission, and then there's I mean, it's like they
this
showed
must
it
have been like a whole event back in the day,
right? And how they showed it on AMC the way they showed it in 1939. So I think I don't know how they make it shorter, but they'll cut out those, which probably only takes out a half an hour at the most. Mm. So yeah, it's just a long friggin' movie. Wow. But as you're watching. It goes by. There's enough action and stuff. It's I don't know why the hell we're talking about Gone with the Wind, but it's pretty good.
When you say I don't know why we're talking about this is what I'll say because
I brought it up. That's why.
Well, no, but just taking like a step back and like just being a little meta and like fourth wall breaking a little bit right now.
Okay, Deadpool. There you go.
I was listening to a podcast that they were talking about how. They were because they're big time now. It's Wizard and the Bruiser. If you've heard them or seen them, and one of the things that they talked about was when they were looking at which, like they were doing research to start their podcast, right? And they're doing this as like a full time deal, and I think that that's what their goal was all along.
This is their income, then.
And they said the thing about nerd podcasts that really pisses me off. One of the guys was like, he's like,
nerds.
All they do. Is there? It's a couple guys in their basement. I'm like, oh, not off to a great start. But what he said was
spot on.
They are just sitting there talking about what they had for lunch for half the episode,
right?
And so I'm like, oh,
we don't do that.
We do not do. We might take a half an hour or 45 minutes to get to the episode topic, But we are on topic. We are talking about nerd shit
for the whole
for the entire. So like, and I know other podcasts that do that. Whatever.
There's other true crime podcasts. One called My Favorite Murder with a girl.
I was just going to say.
They talk about their favorite TV shows. And I mean,
it's not a bad podcast. Don't get me wrong.
I've gotten a little tired of it. I listen to a bunch of them.
But yeah, but you're exactly. That's they a just perfect
go on and on about shit. I couldn't care less. And they are stand-up comedians, both those women. But.
Yeah, we saw them live. They didn't.
You guys are that familiar. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean. I don't even think they do as good a job of researching as we do in our other podcast.
And I think that that's the thing that, like...
And they don't even do the research. Somebody else does.
For the five people that are listening right now, spread out over the next 3 months, I hope that we give you something that you're actually like,
it all pertains to our subject matter. You're
not just fast-forwarding to get to the thing. Like,
right.
Whether or not it's, like, on topic all the time, we're still talking, like... It's a geek pop culture podcast.
And it's always on topic.
And, exactly.
And our charm and charisma and humor alone should keep you enthralled.
And the thing, honestly, I could do a 4-hour marathon podcast with this handsome devil because I'd just be talking about...
I thought it was
about,
just you and me. You're cheating on me? Oh, you're talking about me. Thanks, man. That's how I take a compliment.
But hopefully we keep you engaged and it's not like you're sitting there like, wow, well... That's cool.
Although Ryan, a guy who's been a guest on the show, did say, Christ, it takes you forever to get to the actual
But we
main
were talking
topic.
About nerd shit the
but
entire time.
But we were
time.
Talking about it, so, yeah, right.
For whatever that's worth.
And he did, to maybe contradict a little bit what he said, he did say we are ahead of the time as far as, you know, knowing
Well,
stuff.
we're what we try to do, and I think that what he's alluding to is like, he doesn't have the time, just like
right.
me, to go out and see the movies right away. We try to cover things
at least
in a timely manner.
The blockbuster ones, at least, right.
So, that being said, we will be doing a Deadpool episode, what I was going to talk about before we got on that tangent. We want to do a Deadpool episode in the future. And I guess why I'm saying this is we're covering three movies. One of them is Deadpool. In the next episode or two, we're going to be covering Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. We're eventually going to be covering Deadpool 3.
Which is what we're leading up to is Deadpool 3.
Those all could be combined into one episode. But I would like to, and I don't think Mickey's going to have any issues with
this.
Nope. Cover a franchise-wide, just talk about Deadpool, not just specifically the movies. And so keep that in mind when we talk about some of this, because... Like most of the stuff, we just don't have the time for. We're not going to be able to cover Deadpool specifically as deep as it needs to,
or as much as we'd want to. But
yeah.
But we will have covered all three movies by the time we're done.
Right.
And then, like, didn't we do a Batman franchise one?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So.
I think we did the Dark Knight trilogy.
Right.
But
we didn't really. So maybe we do that back to back.
We could definitely
once
there's
we're done
definitely
with these X-Men,
a Batman, yes.
Right, where we just talk about the Batman
comics,
franchise and then we talk about the Deadpool franchise.
Right.
Like two different episodes there.
We are
because those are our favorite characters.
We are very TV show and movie oriented, heavy on this podcast.
Right.
But there's a lot of room to grow into the comics and the direct to DVD, Blu-ray animated shows. And there's just a lot that surrounds these characters that we don't necessarily cover, we don't have the time to. So Deadpool will have a special episode that we can go over it in more detail. So
but just to keep in mind other topics that we want to get to eventually, and as much as we talk, it might take a while. Hunger Games is going to be fairly soon. I made a list. Yep. Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Lord of the Ring movies, Harry Potter movies, Matrix movies, the Bad Batch series. Best Picture movies? I just threw that on there because I was watching the
plenty
Oscars. Yeah. The Walking Dead series, we got to finish that up. Planet of the Apes movies, there's another one just came out of that. And the Transformers movies. So we got a lot of crap.
Add Monsterverse to that, the Kong and Godzilla movies, because those ones have been...
Oh, I thought
Warner Brothers broke a record this year with that and... What was the other big Warner Brothers? Oh, Dune. They broke a record with the first studio to break $1 billion for... box office sales between those two movies and how
really?
Successful. So the Monsterverse, that's a whole nother thing.
So yeah, I've got them on there. And then Transformers was the last one I said.
Oh,
so
God, yeah.
We got a lot of stuff.
So, and those aren't small for like, we're not just like scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Like,
no, there's three or four movies in each one of those franchises.
Well, and I'm not even saying like like in terms of that,
they're huge.
But they're big franchises.
Right. Everybody should be.
It's not like we're like, well, the 1979 hit Astro Man.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We're not to that point. So I guess yes,
they're a major franchise.
We have a lot to like big names to cover. I mean. Anyways, yes. So,
yeah.
Before we get in any more off topic, in the news, what do you got for me, Mickey?
We're sticking to what we do best, obviously. So, on March 30th, the 85th anniversary of Batman.
No, man,
we bring things together. What? The cover of Detective Comics number 27 was technically labeled as May 1939, but they celebrate the anniversary on March 30th, the 85th anniversary. Not that Tom knows anything about it.
I don't know anything about it. I've not collected any type of...
I can't look around
Batman,
without seeing something Batman
nothing,
in this room.
As I stall to have a visual aid for the things that...
Everywhere I turn, there's
Mickey
something
was
Batman.
Talking about. So we're talking about Detective Comics number 27, right? Yeah. So Detective Comics number 27 was the first...
This is worth... Oh, it's a replica.
It's a facsimile.
Still, it's not... What is it? How is that not a replica? Is it?
Oh, it is a replica.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's the word they use then?
That's the word they use for comic books. So okay, this is facsimile. These two are facsimiles down to the
it's pretty awesome,
like
huh?
ads that they had in the original.
No, it literally is a reprint then.
So it's the only thing that's different is the price on
it. Insulting. That one's not in the cardboard back and bag.
Well,
Who are you?
You're
insulting all nerds right now.
Too many collections. But yes, Batman, 85 years. I remember when the 80th anniversary came out, and I'm pretty sure we covered it on the Monty and Mickey. Like, we talked about it on the Monty and Mickey podcast at one point. So
it's been five
years. Flying.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
It means we've known each other for that long. Okay, I'm done. Cheers, brother.
You handsome devil, you.
You're that
only
handsome.
Getting better looking with age.
Just like a fine beer, because it's what we're...
Nice and hoppy and bitter.
Right. And we're drunk. That's why we're coming on to each other right now. Anyway, Steven Spielberg.
Whoa, Deadpool.
Called... that was Deadpool, very much.
Keep it in your pants.
Steven Spielberg, have you ever heard of him? Called Dune Part 2 one of the most brilliant science fiction films he's ever seen. That's pretty big praise from a pretty big guy.
Dune episode.
Yeah.
On Monty and Mickey podcast.
We covered that one because it was pretty good. So this one a little bit depressing because I love The Boys and Gen V on Prime Video. They're another take on superhero. It's just more messed up. You've seen them both, right?
Would it be if Todd McFarlane was able to create his own TV show about superheroes?
And you've seen them both?
I started watching
The Boys is awesome. Gen V is pretty good too. It's not as funny, but so anyway, Gen V season 2 production has been delayed following the death of series star Chance Perdomo.
Yeah, that was, and he's only like 28.
Right.
26.
I don't even know how he died. I didn't get that far into it.
I don't know either. But
he said,
and
that's a really good show.
We've talked about this like before with recasts and everything else that kind of happens. I mean, when we talked about the Dark Knight trilogy, I'm sure we talked about Heath Ledger and everything that kind of threw that for. He was supposed to become like be a minor role in the third movie. Like there was like a whole
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. So you can't separate the emotion of somebody dying clearly.
Well, especially a huge star like Heath Ledger.
When you start to talk about like these multifaceted, multimedia, you know, you have multiple seasons planned, like and from a purely just fan perspective, it's a big deal. Like,
right.
How do you like the? And this is the whole thing that with Chadwick Boseman,
yeah.
Like the plans that they had for him and everything. Right. So it's like not only you get this like 1-2 gut punch of somebody died.
Now they got to figure out a new storyline on top.
And now they got to decide how do they honor this person if he wasn't a shithead, like, you know, some people. Like,
right, but they're probably nowadays not just going to replace him with another actor.
No, they got to figure out a way to, like, build that into
the story.
Or if they do recast him, okay, now they got to find somebody that's going to do him justice. And it's going to be unique enough to not be like, we're trying to replace him. But we need this character to continue the story.
And they got to figure out a way to deflect all the criticism that they will get in these.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to. Yeah. You're going to piss somebody off.
Right.
So anyway.
So speaking of that, James Gunn says DC won't greenlight a film until they have finished a script that they're happy with. So we're trying to keep
the
standard.
Brother.
Which is,
here's the thing about this. Exactly. And hopefully Warner Brothers is picking up on the hints. They probably listened to our podcast, to be honest.
Of course.
The heads at Warner Brothers.
No sarcasm there, folks.
There's the same thing that was said about the Dune Part 3, that's probably going to be another 3-4 years before that comes out. And honestly, I'm not pissed. No. I'm not mad.
Quality. I'd rather... Plus the anticipation, like the original Star Wars, like all the Star Wars movies. 4 years. Or 3 years.
Mickey, if you were having sex with a beautiful woman every night, I am
now you're
I'm
talking.
Not, I'm gonna stop
now
talking.
You're talking fantasy. Jesus,
I was just gonna say I have. Never mind. There's no way to back out of that and
Deadpool,
not like embarrass my wife.
Deadpool.
My wife's a beautiful. My wife's a beautiful woman. How about I leave it at that? If you were having sex with a beautiful woman every single night,
not your
after
wife.
A while,
not your wife.
If not with okay. my wife, okay. get your own beautiful woman. You after a while, you'd just be like, you know. It's just not like it's not as exciting.
It's the same can of soda again. Like, it just opens like, the same way, same decoration.
It's the same, like, ugh. And so all I'm trying to say is that
cheat on your wife.
Marvel is fucking us way too often.
Variety
we need
is
to be fucked less.
Life.
We need to be having sex with Marvel less. And I just
really?
Don't appreciate.
Even I'm confused.
Don't appreciate. I don't appreciate getting fucked that often, okay? Spread it out. Buy me dinner first.
Usually
to anticipate. You don't have to show up naked. Like, you know, there's some, like, the don't make, like, make it more, like, you know. Anyways.
It doesn't have to be cheap. How about Wine Dine 69 a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm just, usually I'm the one who takes us off the rails in the perverted direction, so good for you, man. I'm glad I'm rubbing off. Bad choice of words, but I'm glad I'm rubbing off.
All I have to say is I cannot wait until Dune and the new DC movies wait like a year or three to call me back after the first date. That's all I got to say.
Right,
like, I'm really excited for that.
Right.
So
I've been waiting for weeks and they still haven't called.
You text me first, okay?
Right. So a little, once again, tying everything together. Godzilla versus Kong, the New Empire, was tracking to earn, nice typing, earn $192 to $208 million on its worldwide box office opening weekend, expecting to dethrone Dune Part 2, earning the highest opening of 2024. So, as you said, very popular franchise.
And I'm
not sure it passed. This was a while ago we posted.
I don't know that we hit record on it already, but Warner Brothers is the first franchise this year to get over the 1 billion mark for box office. So,
right.
So again, as a Batman guy, where DC is owned by Warner Brothers, it's exciting for me.
Right.
More money,
right.
More projects.
More budgets.
More quality projects.
Bigger budgets.
But here's the thing about that. They didn't have big budgets for either one of those. And that, to me, there's so much to be said about that.
It's about quality.
You have a quality movie, you don't have to spend a bunch of money.
Huge actors or all that crap.
If you're going to spend the money, put it on practical effects.
Right.
Like, do the things that matter.
Use it where it's necessary if you got a big budget. But don't just throw it in freaking special
effects. Here's a novel idea. Spend the money on the writers.
Right.
Spend the money on the actors.
Exactly.
Spend the money on the directors.
Right.
Get the quality.
Right.
And spend the money on that stuff.
Especially because if you want to make the money back, that's the way to do it. You know,
so ironic when you start talking about things like, you know, Madam Web and, you know, some of these other movies that had these huge budgets, which I don't know Madam Web, but had these huge budgets and they didn't even break even. And you're like,
right. Then
this one who spent less than them. And is so, again, it's not about how much money you spend.
By now, with all the movies that have been made over the decades, almost centuries now, how have they not figured that out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're not paying attention.
I mean, to their credit, it is a fickle business.
It's hard. It
you
is.
Know,
you
don't
never know
what
for sure what
are,
people are going to
I mean, like. I don't know how anybody watched a screening of Madam Web and was like, send it to the movie theater.
Right.
You know, but
well,
that being said,
like,
some
like,
people, like, I don't know, you somebody, people all have different opinions.
Well, and people shoot their mouths off, so word can be totally wrong and still spread and
mm-hmm.
The rumor could stop the movie from being popular. Everybody yeah. says it sucked. I'm not going to go watch it, even though it was the greatest movie of all time. You
right.
know? Like,
exactly.
Like the last Batman movie.
Flash?
Yes. That is a good example of what I just said, because that was a really good movie. People
yeah.
are dumb sometimes. So, smooth transition there. On May 17th, only in theaters, new Ryan Reynolds movie, If.
Yep. And this
I forgot about that, but
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it, because I love him.
Again, he's very, he's stretching his legs, so to speak. He's not being typecast by any means.
Well, he was in a lot of movies before Deadpool came around too, like rom-coms and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
John Boyega. Wow, did I have a stroke? John Boyega officially set to play young Denzel Washington in upcoming The Book of Eli prequel series, not movie.
Did you watch the first Book of Eli
movie? I don't know much about it, no. It didn't ever really interest me for some reason.
Take the time someday. It's terrific.
If I can watch Gone with the Wind for 4 hours, I can probably find the time.
Denzel Washington does a terrific job.
Well, everything he does is good.
So, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And, if he's in it, I know it's going to be good. So
yeah.
That's just me being stupid. So, once again, just like the X-Men movies.
As a guy that you trust, hopefully, definitely take the time to watch it. So
I don't trust you. I never said that. I love you, man, but I don't fucking trust you.
We rarely agree on things on this podcast.
Right.
Ever.
Exactly.
We are always like, always that movie sucks. That movie was great.
Marvel cast Julia Gardner. I know her from the Ozark series, which was a really good show, and she was really good in it. As a version of the Silver Surfer in an upcoming Fantastic Four movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's great. We've seen her in a commercial now with George Clooney. She's in that commercial now.
Mm.
Where I think it's a Coke commercial or some shit like that, but he ends up riding away on a bike. That's the woman we're talking about.
And I honestly don't have a, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, wokeism and, like, you know, having to force certain
things. We're going
things
too far in the other direction, in my opinion.
This, to me, is not a situation where that is necessarily...
A woman has to be cast in that role.
If they...
She's just a good actress.
Yeah. And so, one, a good actress. Two, there was a version of the Silver Surfer.
Sure.
Three, you've done like four different Fantastic Four movies. You got to come up with an original idea.
Right.
This is a very good way
right.
to come up with an original idea.
And why because not?
I don't know much about the Silver Surfer, but the only time he's ever been portrayed was in like one Fantastic Four movie and he was a guy.
And it wasn't really well received.
It wasn't anything I remember that way.
Right. So, did anybody see that movie? Not many, I don't think.
So, I guess from that point of view, I can see where people are like, oh, he was a guy. Like, why didn't they cast a guy? Well, I think that if you look at it, like, take a step back, look at what they're doing, how they could do this. To me, this is a way that you can have a more interesting, compelling storyline by making a slight change like
right.
that.
Right. So, and it's dramatic but subtle all at the same time. And the show Ozark, which was directed by Jason Bateman, who's in a podcast I love that I listen to every week called Smartless, that I've talked about a few times with Will Arnett and Sean Hayes. But he directed that. He starred in it. She was amazing in that. She was in it every season. It's really good. It's on Netflix. Check that out if you want to know more about her because she's really good.
And
Ozark,
like,
it was it.
Like we always know, and I think he was the villain in the Fantastic Four movies. That I don't know a lot about his backstory, but as we know, a villain can make or break a movie.
Right.
Like that, a villain is a very big part of what makes a movie.
Who was?
We'll be talking about that in Apocalypse here in a minute, but
right.
That, yeah.
Who was the villain?
In what?
In the Fantastic.
That's
Four
I think. I think Silver Surfer was.
Oh,
the villain.
Yeah, yeah. Because I always thought he was a good guy. That's how little I know about it. But I think you're right. I think he is.
I don't know if he was like a. Like a neutral, like he was kind
independent,
of bad, but,
like
you know.
A Boba Fett bounty hunter type
yeah.
or something. Yeah. So hey, I did it again on May 4th. All new Star Wars series of six shorts called Tales of the Empire to premiere on Disney Plus. That looks pretty good.
And we did. Movie. I think we did a shorty on.
We did talk about
Tales of the Jedi.
Right.
This looks really
like
good,
an extension
especially
of that almost.
Especially if you watch the Ahsoka series and you know like a little bit about her backstory, or if you've seen the Clone Wars.
Right. Or any of I watched the last season of that, and that's enough.
Because I know I'm gonna forget it. May 4th is also not only Star Wars Day, but this year it is also Free Comic Book Day. So hit up your local comic book.
Well, store. More and more they're adding stuff to May the 4th because somebody finally realized it's a day we should celebrate.
To be well, this was a happy coincidence because it's just the first Saturday of every May.
Right.
So this was it just happened to be
oh, for
this
the comic
year,
book day yeah.
for the Free Comic Book Day. But so, anyways, if you don't know what Free Comic Book Day is. They give away free comic books, so
that's where they came up with the name for it.
It's a very
genius.
The writers were,
they're brilliant.
How do we convey what we're going to do on this day?
We want to keep it short to the point. We're giving away free comics. Should we call it Free Comic Book Day?
Comic Book Day. What do we
free? How do we get those all together?
Be free, but how do we do this?
In a brilliant.
Way? How do people know what we're trying to do? Anyways.
Okay, we've killed the horse. It's dead. We'll bring it back later. On August 16th, only in theaters, new trailer for Alien Romulus. Mm-hmm. I never got into that franchise. I gotta put that.
Throw that franchise on the list because that is 100%.
And Predator and Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator. Now Prey is having their own. I actually saw an article that talked about how. So we already talked about that they're going to be doing a Prey sequel that's going to be during World War One, which I'm all in. I think they talked about like another one. Like there's going to be that one, but then also another one that. They haven't had a whole lot of details about yet either, but that franchise is far from dead. I guess is the point I'm trying to make. Is
oh right, well they're making
both
new ones.
Predator
all the time.
And Aliens, which Aliens is one that is definitely a blind spot in my repertoire.
But they're like the first one was Sigourney Weaver, and it's like it was. Really?
Wasn't she in a couple of them?
Yeah, but I mean, she started French.
She was the
she was a huge actress.
She was the main character in the first one. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of stuff we got to cover, man. Alien vs. Predator.
I think we should quit our jobs.
My God, we're gonna have to.
Patreon.com/ Monty and Mickey. Should we do that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like $3. You gotta pay for beer.
Please send us your money for only $1 a month. Okay, sorry.
For $5 a month, you can sponsor a nerd.
Better than a dog. Actually, sorry, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to piss off our fan base. Okay, Sarah McLachlan. All right, Action Comics number one. You're beautiful, but I don't want everybody to start wanting you to sing every episode. Action Comics number one, Superman's first appearance set sales record for single comic book at auction, selling for $6 million for one comic book.
That they will never read, they will never take out of the case,
never touch,
they will never touch,
and will be worth more than everything I will ever own combined.
I cannot fathom being that stupid rich.
Right.
Like, there's things that
charity.
I really...
charity!
There's things that I really
like. Be a philanthropist!
There's things that I pay a lot of money for, right?
Not that fucking much.
And the things that I pay a lot of money for, like a car, a house.
Well, you feel bad when you spend $60 on a toy. Like $6 million on a comic book.
Like, add a couple zeros to that. And the toy, I'm taking it out of the box.
Right. Like, yeah, you're playing with it.
This guy got this thing. First of all, it was probably handed to him in white gloves. And he grabbed it in white gloves.
Or in a display case.
Somebody else gave
already.
It to him in white gloves. And he's never even touched it. And then will never be opened up.
And then he made the gloves even whiter after realizing what he just...
Oh, however sorry. However he ends up displaying this, the cover will never be turned.
Right.
Ever.
You're never going to look at the comic, nope.
You are literally buying essentially a piece of art.
Although, and maybe with this kind of money, this is not a poor assumption, but I'll bet you he's single. So... maybe he has
not
time.
Anymore.
Right.
Let me tell you what. If I told a girl that I had
a $6 million comic book,
the Action Comics number one, they'd be knocking.
Then
down
she
my
slept door. With me, and then she was gone, and
twins,
so was my comic
quadruplets,
book.
Man. Let's be honest.
Okay, I got a joke for you. Sorry, since we're gonna keep interrupting. So since we're on the pervert track today in this episode, anyway. Okay, so two people having sex is a twosome, right?
Okay.
Three people having sex is a threesome, right?
Yep.
I understand why people call you handsome.
Thank you, sir.
That one's funny. Thank you, sir. Some people just kind of think about it going, wait, what do you Wait a minute. It was a compliment.
It was insulting me.
Now you're calling me a master debater. Okay. Smoothly on to another subject. On Friday, November 1st at 8 p.m. I love that joke, by the way. Battle of the Coast, Florida Atlantic versus South Florida college football game to be played aboard the aircraft carrier floating on the Atlantic Ocean. That's cool.
It's so unique. I had to post it on the
website. Right, you're not
even
a huge
don't
football
do a lot of
fan, right?
Sports references.
And I'm a big sports
clearly
fan.
Clearly, huge part of pop culture.
That would be
sports,
weird. That'd
but
be...
that is super cool. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see the coverage. I'm sure they're
going to
have
I just
want to
see how it's
going to
work.
And...
It must be a net all the way around because those punters
can be more exciting if they.
Let
fall
it go.
Off the side. I mean,
game off. You gotta go jump in the water, and get the football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. The quarterback got
tackled into the ocean.
Oh, an octopus got him. Oh, crap. Oh, that's a kraken. Okay, sorry. John Ratzenberger, actor who played Cliff Clavin on TV sitcom Cheers, has had a voice part in nearly all Pixar films, Toy Story, all those movies.
Cars, yeah.
Right. And was also Major Bren Derlin of the Rebel Alliance in The Empire Strikes Back. I didn't know that. And I love Cheers, and you know how much I love Star Wars.
So. I didn't recognize. I knew that character.
That movie's been out since I was a kid, and I never knew
I knew him from Cheers and his voice acting, but
I never put the two together. I think I have an action figure of him now that I think about it,
too. Probably, yeah.
That's crazy, man. And that guy, everybody knows Cliff Clavin. No, it's commonly known that that guy knows everything, and he's the one who came up with the whole, you know, survival of the fittest with brain cells. That's why we're smarter the more we drink, because we're killing off the dead brain cells.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, that's...
That was one
series. Oh, you're too young to know about Cheers.
My parents watched it all.
You're not as handsome as you were at the beginning of the episode. I'm just...
I'm sorry.
All right. It's your fault you're too young.
Just not as smart your fault. As you, okay? I'm or, just or not as
old,
smart.
Old. Wise. Let's go with wise. That's right in the middle. Exclusively in theaters this July. Movie Fly Me to the Moon, starring Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. That should be pretty good.
That preview looked hilarious and awesome.
It is. It's a comedy?
Well, yeah, they're faking the moon landing.
Oh.
It's like I didn't know the premise, but those two names. Of them faking the moon landing.
Oh, really? No, because, I mean, she's, you know, beautiful and a great actress, and Channing Tatum is, well, technically beautiful and a great actor, so. Yeah.
That
sounds even better now.
I don't know why it surprises me, but they do... from the preview I saw, they have a lot of chemistry, like rom-com.
But
funny.
It's based in the late 60s, then. Obviously.
It's based right around the moon landing, and I think it's historical.
Yeah.
I hope it's historical fiction, and they didn't fake the moon landing. They didn't, guys. I don't believe that. But yes, it's like historical fiction of
well,
like,
looking
hey,
that,
if it doesn't work and we don't actually make it to the moon, we have to have this backup plan.
And people have been theorizing that ever since it happened. So
right.
Makes sense. October 4th, only in theaters, I'm trying to speak French the whole time. Joker, Folie à Deux, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. Trailer. We put the trailer on our Facebook page. She's an amazing actress. She was in one of the seasons or a couple of seasons of American Horror Story. She's been to Juilliard. Everybody knows her musical talent. She's awesome. And then you got the guy who nails the freaking Joker.
I watched most. I didn't end up finishing it. That Napoleon movie that was on Apple TV.
Oh right.
I watched it a couple. Like started it and
he's so good,
amazing.
Right.
That just like thinking about that trailer is giving me goosebumps just because it's. I don't know.
The first movie, honestly, that first movie was standalone good. Just I mean, even as a psychological thriller, which is right up my alley. You know, I mean,
go watch the Monty and Mickey episode on Joker. Where guest person on the other line of the phone, Ryan,
was covering it.
Because he called me right after he watched it. He was like, did you see this movie yet?
Right. Honestly, I don't mean to insult you, but that might be one of my favorite Batman movies.
That's not insulting.
Well, I mean, because he's the villain, but it was so well done. Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize it's that character until you're halfway through and go, oh. I mean, otherwise, it just seems like a fucked up guy who loses his mind, you know?
And it's also like, you start to sympathize, like we said with all movies, like when you can sympathize with the villain,
right?
They got you.
Exactly. Like Dexter and some of these shows. Good movie, right. So, movie about the life of beloved star Chris Farley, born in Wisconsin, by the way. Shaping Up, starring Paul Walter Hauser and directed by Josh Gad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's from Wisconsin.
Don't know much about it yet, and I'm also always hesitant.
But I was a huge Chris Farley fan.
Because it was like just released like this week or something. I'm hesitant to post those types of things because I don't know all the details.
Right.
But that to me was an exciting news, so we'll be following that.
Right, and Chris Farley was beloved and everything, and like I say, he's from Wisconsin, so that's even cooler.
Biopics are very popular. I think that there's at least recently.
Well, especially a guy that was that. Everybody knows who he was, you know, he was, and his life paralleled John Belushi so much, so there's a lot of storylines there.
Right.
So, confirmed to be released by Paramount sometime in 2025 or 2026, Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover officially announced.
This is going to be a long episode because I need to talk about CinemaCon real quick, and I'm sorry to keep interrupting you.
Well, can I just get through the last two and then we'll go back?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Yep.
So Deadpool 3 will have a popcorn bucket designed by Deadpool by Ryan Reynolds. Kevin Feige called it intentionally crude and lewd, also calling the movie itself fucking awesome. Duh. And then finally, there's a new multiplayer Frozen Empire game mode on MetaQuest, which we both have, the headset, the VR headset, called Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord.
That's what it was, yep. So, CinemaCon, just really quick, because I didn't get a chance, and I had thought about posting just like a YouTube video covering all this, but a couple highlights from CinemaCon. Deadpool, there was a quick trailer, or 8 minutes of the movie.
We didn't say that on mic, did we?
They showed a trailer of Gladiator 2, which we knew that was coming. It was officially announced at Caesar's Palace. Fucking marketing is brilliant.
Oh, right.
They put a little like shield and that's like put pretty. Dead, you know, Gladiator 2, which is coming out this year. I can't believe that.
Right.
During that trailer, there's fights. They're showing fights in the Colosseum, clearly. Some guys on an armored
too. That's cool.
Some right. Some guys on an armored rhino, riding a rhino.
Really?
In the Colosseum.
Oh shit!
Another scene they do, because we talked about it. I think at one point they actually do what was done in history: flood the Colosseum and have a naval battle between gladiators. And you're watching this, so.
That really happened?
Yeah.
I've been to the Colosseum. I don't remember hearing
They had some crazy aqueducts. Because
you've been there too, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing that.
They flooded that motherfucker.
No kidding.
And put ships in it.
That's how well built that sucker was, for one thing, to hold the water like that.
Ridley,
and it still exists today.
Ridley Scott, what was described in the trailer as a review that somebody was at CinemaCon, Ridley Scott basically cranked it up to 10 on all the best things about the first Gladiator. All those fight scenes, all the things about what made that movie so great. Like, I guess
Russell Crowe's pretty good too.
Denzel Washington is a mentor to a young gladiator, and then I'm forgetting his name. There's a couple other guys.
Russell Crowe's not in it again.
No, and Joaquin Phoenix isn't in it either.
Oh, I forgot he was in it.
I wanna say, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But anyways, we're almost 40 minutes in.
And we'll probably have to cover that franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So now on to the main subject matter of
the first movie in our recovery? No.
Have another beer. That'll get us
40 minutes in. The first movie is Days of Future Past, and I got to tell you,
2014.
Yes, 2014. Let's talk about it. Mickey, what do you got written down as far as
2014? That's what I got written down.
Oh, that's all you got written down?
Okay. I've got notes and stuff then. But
okay, so Days of Future Past, you've got, Patrick Stewart comes back, Ian McKellen again, Hugh Jackman, but then you have James McCoy,
sure.
Young Charles Xavier, Michael Fassbender, the young Magneto, Jennifer Lawrence comes back again.
Yes, she does.
As Raven. Halle Berry as Storm. Hank. Nicholas Holt as the young The Beast. Rogue. Elliot Page as Kitty Pryde. Peter Dinklage. I mean, you got some big... Sean Ashmore. Evan Peters.
Evan Peters, right.
You've got an all-star cast once again. And again, not knowing much about the X-Men franchise... I wasn't a huge X-Men 97 or X-Men animated series
guy. I didn't watch it either, right?
This movie was so shockingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe it. Right now on IMDb, there is a 7.9 out of 10. It's one of the highest, you know, X-Men movies ranked as far as...
Is it really?
And there's a reason for that. I love this movie. Yeah. As a guy who loved Back to the Future, time travel concepts, they did such a good job.
I'm not confusing you.
Not confusing you, but it's, you know, there's a device. There's this thing that you get into and you travel back in time. There's this car that you get into that you travel back in time. There's this whatever time machine thing, right?
Right.
This time travel idea was so unique and refreshing to be like, no, you're inserting the consciousness of somebody to their past self,
right,
and then changing the future so it never happened. And it's so, I mean, even when you talk about like Endgame and like the way that they did time travel in there, like it was just, I love that idea because I didn't know what that's
how they. It doesn't rely on a device.
Right. Yeah. It's a mutant power.
Right.
And it's clean.
Right.
It's so clean. It's,
and if we're believing that, you know, mutants and superheroes exist, you know, if you're going to believe that, you can believe this. It's believable, you know.
Granted, it makes for the rest of the franchises be super confusing because you're like, what timeline are we in?
Well, just like the MCU. Right. Right. Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is it was time travel, but not in a way that you've ever seen before.
Right.
And that to me was cool. And again, just like we talked about X-Men First Class, they did such a good job of bringing that historical fiction side of things.
Right. And because they've done that now, that will help them as far as introducing these other franchises like Fantastic Four and MCU and all that stuff. Because now they've given themselves these other windows or, you know, dimensions where they can pull people in from. So,
right.
And as far as where to find this, this is the only one that wasn't on Disney Plus for some reason.
Yeah, I think I had to watch it on HBO Max, actually.
Yeah, it was on there or Prime Video. I think I rented it on Prime Video.
Okay.
Which I normally don't rent because I can find it somewhere. But
Right.
Yeah, it was also on Spectrum or Max. Spectrum, I couldn't find it, so I didn't record it. But all the other ones are on Disney Plus. So what? It's just weird that this one isn't.
And I think that what made, I don't know why, I don't know how licensing
works. Maybe because it's the most popular one, or
maybe they didn't want to give up the license. I don't know. Right. They're getting that many streaming every month, but.
And I can't imagine it's more popular than the Deadpool movies, is it?
Well, let's look. And this is just IMDb. This isn't, you know, there's a lot of other.
But it's a credible source.
So you got five. I'm sorry. This is not the right Deadpool. What is this? This is not Deadpool. Deadpool the musical?
Oh. This there is not a Deadpool musical.
This looks like a TV series done in 2013.
Is it a musical or not?
Oh.
My buddy Gary.
The web series. I'm sorry.
Okay, my buddy Gary saw Beetlejuice the musical. He said it was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the right. I'm sorry. Not the Deadpool I was like.
Well, I want to see Deadpool musical now.
The web series. So Days of Future Past, 7.9 out of 10. Deadpool, 8 out of 10.
Oh,
but still, I feel like Deadpool just exists in its own.
It's kind of its own.
It feels like its own thing anyway.
Well,
so
the way they explain.
So I don't think when people talk about like the X-Men movies,
they think
lump it
Deadpool,
in, but it's not. It's like this offshoot. But,
so I think that one was a really popular X-Men movie. Deadpool is just kind of its own franchise.
It's a really popular movie.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But what I again going back to the historical fiction. The idea that Magneto, first of all, the idea, like, all the things that Magneto has to deal with in terms of, like, how do they keep him in a jail cell, right?
Right.
And, like, these complicated ways of, like, everything is not metal. I mean, think about all the things that you use in your everyday life that are metal, and the things, especially in, like, high, you know, security situations, are intentionally metal.
Right.
And like,
for that reason,
to me, that was a really unique way to be like, okay, so the guns are all glass and they're glass bullets. And then they got like a fully concrete structure that has no reinforcing in it. So he can't, you know, use the reinforcing because you can't even do like, I'm not. And so to me, that part was really interesting. And the fact that he was in there because he tried to save JFK. And this is, again, the historical figure. He tried to save JFK by bending the bullet and then ended up killing him because they got to him too soon and he wasn't able to actually. And they're like, like, just that tie-in to be like, oh, and then on top of it, because it was Nixon, right? Was it Nixon that, who took over after, not Nixon.
Not Nixon, I can't remember.
Whoever it was that was the president, Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
He shows up in the movie.
Right.
And he's like an actor playing him. So it's like, just reinforce the whole idea of like the MCU Marvel lives in
historical significance.
New York City and LA and San Francisco. Like, they're like, it's supposed to exist in our world.
Like historical fiction, kind of.
Right.
Right. And that, along the lines of, you know, the time travel stuff, the scene where Quicksilver is going around the room changing everyone's stances and everything so things will happen differently, so they avoid a bullet and all that stuff, even that was really cool.
Yeah.
You can move so fast. Yeah, I mean, that's just – and, I mean, it's Evan Peters, so he's amazing at everything he does. But that's – even that aspect is so cool that he's so fast he can go around and change the direction of things and what's going to happen going forward just because he moves the guy out of the way of a bullet, you know, and stuff like that. That's, now,
we've talked about it before, but, I mean – here's another character that's competing with a character from DC, right?
The Flash. Right, exactly, yep.
Not to make things even more complicated, but I believe at this, it was either at this time or during Apocalypse, the movie X-Men Apocalypse.
That we'll be talking
the about. Movie of Avengers Age of Ultron came out, and Quicksilver was introduced in that movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
So you've got parallel two Quicksilvers
right.
in different franchises that are this, technically the same character. Now, plus, make it even more confusing.
WandaVision.
He comes in, and it's Evan Peters.
Evan Peters, yeah, right.
So, I think that at that time, they either had Fox, they would have had Fox by then. So, they were able to be like, oh, my brother, Quicksilver.
Right, it makes sense in WandaVision, because it's literally her brother.
Right,
right.
But it was supposed to be the other guy.
Right, the guy, actor, yep.
And so, I think that you're starting to see that, and I think that Deadpool versus Wolverine will be the Flash to the DC universe. It's going to hit a reset button.
Right.
And explain a lot of things of how we tie all this together.
Right.
Just like they're going to be able to explain, well, there's a new Batman. There's a new Superman. It was the Flash that was able to explain that.
Right.
Deadpool versus Wolverine is going to explain that. And this is just one of the complicated spaghetti.
And again, because these other dimensions are being introduced, they can do that and have it be a little more.
And time travel and everything else. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, I thought it was brilliant to have him, first of all, and then to be able to tie all that to different franchises. Anyways.
Right. Well, it's just a really good movie. A couple other points. I didn't know Storm and Bishop were both destroyed. They were both destroyed in this movie. I didn't. That was kind of,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well.
But they come back around.
Right.
Obviously.
Well, and that's the whole, like, you're never really dead until you're dead.
Because they can find someone in another dimension or whatever, yeah.
But what I thought was, what made this so unique as a movie, and I don't think you see this, you maybe see this in one other movie, but the fact that they were able to keep Ian Magneto, old Magneto, and young Magneto, and old Professor X and young Professor X for so many movies, to me, that made this movie so great too, is because you get to see them as older guys and then you get to see them as young guys, and it wasn't just one or the other, right?
Right.
The original X-Men movies, you saw Patrick Stewart, you saw Ian McKellen or whatever, and only them as their that age.
Right.
And so this brought a way to be, without having to do this de-aging and complicated CGI, I took that leap of faith and was completely fine with them being like, yep, and these are the younger versions of them.
Right.
I'm like, makes sense to me.
It was believable, and it made sense in the storyline and everything. Yeah, right.
Besides, you know, Wolverine, which he never ages, so.
Well, yeah. Able to be and speaking of that, at the very end, Mystique has control of Wolverine's body in a flashback as present-day Professor X catches Wolverine up on what has happened to him. That was just a weird scene, you know? I mean, it's pretty cool and, like, wow, Wolverine's kind of part of the group right now. What the hell's going on?
You know? Right. Well, and that's the whole, like, you know, hey, Biff is waxing my car now. What the hell? Like, changing
sorry,
things.
Mr. McFly. Sorry. Yeah.
But that's a perfect example of, like, okay, well, now they're back because they changed history and made it better. And
but he didn't know about it yet.
But he didn't know. So he, like, jumped consciousness.
Right.
You know, however many years. When we get to Apocalypse, that was what confused me. Because I thought Apocalypse was going to be, okay.
The end of
like,
things.
It was basically right after Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Like, 10 years later.
Right.
Like, it is essentially what they did.
Right.
And so that, to me, was, like, a confusing, like, but
especially with
but it was the new timeline, and that's what confused me. Where it's like, you don't because
I just watched this other movie where this was the truth. Oh, so, yeah, so they changed things.
That's why when you see him as Weapon X in Apocalypse, Wolverine, yeah. It's because he hadn't broken out yet.
Right.
So what you're seeing at the end of Days of Future Past is him already breaking out.
Right.
So in this timeline, he gets experimented on by that Stryker guy.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just like, oh my god, my brain hurts. Like,
right, but you gotta remember, yeah, because then there's a Deadpool movie that really has nothing to do with any of this in between, and that's how we watched him.
Right.
And then you gotta remember, oh crap, how did that last movie end so that I know where the hell we are in this new movie as we're getting it.
Not to mention you can't even use X-Men Origins Wolverine as a basis for anything because that never happened
now it's all gone.
This timeline.
Right.
Stryker got a hold of him a lot earlier.
Right. So that movie's basically obsolete now at this point.
Even though what really is going on?
Where am I? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, any other points at the end credits? Well, one more thing. There's lines. There's some really good writing in these movies too.
Oh yeah.
One line: humanity has always feared what is different. And that was Magneto while being a destructive asshole, as I put it. No better than those he's fighting against. But yeah, that was his point as he's causing all this destruction.
Right.
That's a true thing in real life. It's a true thing in movies.
They fear what they don't know. Yep. I mean, I think
people judge what they don't understand, and they're afraid of it. Yep.
So,
and then the end credit scene shows a female.
I'm so stoned. I didn't know there was an end credit scene.
Oh, really? It's a Marvel movie, man. You gotta.
Does
know.
Every X-Men movie have it?
Well, every Marvel movie. I watch every movie to the end now. I just
assumed because it wasn't MCU, it didn't have an end credit.
Right. Well, no. Yeah.
So what's the end credit scene? Tell me.
I can't read my writing, but I'll try to get it right. End credit shows female leader. What? Oh, a female leader atop a cliff above thousands of people in a lower desert-type area chanting. Just, I don't even know what character it was, but basically introducing these people, and she's going to be a power.
It must have been something with Apocalypse then.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I can't remember this a while ago when I watched it. But
all right.
Yeah. So now we got to watch the end credit scenes.
I got to go back and watch all those. So
anything else on Days of Future Past?
That's all the notes I got.
Creative name, too, by the way, like Back to the Future. Days of Future Past is right up there with great names for
right,
time
exactly.
travel.
Kind of sums it up really well, yeah.
And now we'll be talking about something near and dear to Mickey's heart.
Of course.
A man who needs no introduction. Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a. The Deadpool.
The Deadpool?
Mr. Pool.
No, Deadpool. The Deadpool. Okay, Mr. Pool. I love it when they're just trying to come up with the name. T.J. Miller is freaking hilarious, and those two going back and forth. Yes. Oh, my God.
I got to say this because it was a line in the movie. When he talks to...
So let me say this first.
Okay, sorry.
The one line...
I'm stealing your... Clearly.
No.
This would be like you being like... Fucking Batman!
No. That's not true. And my voice carries, so there's no one ever talks over me for too long. Don't worry about that. But to your point that you're gonna make, the one-liners are pretty much nonstop. At least as long as Ryan Reynolds and T.J. Miller are on screen, which is what I just said, and it still makes me laugh every time. And I've seen these movies so many damn times. That's why I love these. That's why these are some of my all-time favorite movies, along with the amazing action, acting, and cinematography. Just the banter, like when T.J. Miller's describing what his face looks like, how the avocados hate fuck and all that stuff, and oh my god, it makes me laugh.
But
when just thinking about it,
have such a bad relationship, but it keeps them from being violent.
Right, but that's why they do it, because that's the only thing that's keeping the relationship together, and it's just, and Brad Reynolds is like,
I had a bad dream that I had stole Liam Neeson's daughter, and he was chasing me down. I mean, honestly, there's three movies. After a while, you just
think bad parenting.
This is what I need to. Well, first of all, one-liners just
non-stop. So yeah,
this is like in the 2000s before there was a lot of like social media wasn't as big and things. Like, I don't know about you, but that was a like core part of being a guy with friends is that you just quote movies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just funny shit from movies. Like, one-liners from
most
movies.
Most of my friends don't do it as well anymore, and that's how my brain works.
Like,
I remember useless information, and that includes quotes from movies that I've seen too much.
I refuse to fail my daughters as a father and not let them understand when I'm making a joke that it ties to a movie and that they can appreciate
right.
it for what it is.
Even if
and
they haven't
seen
the movie.
It's not just crazy dad saying,
well, where we're going, we don't need roads. Like, why the fuck would he say that?
What,
like,
is he trying to be poetic?
No, I refuse. Like, if my kids don't know how to do taxes, whatever. If they don't
this is
know,
important.
They don't know a reference to a movie.
Especially
that's,
a movie like
the movie that's
favorite.
So important to me that literally my, anyways.
You do explain it to him where it came from and all that stuff?
I'm just making him watch the movies. Like,
oh.
So like, click your heels three times. Like,
well, I mean, because even like the Godfather movies, those are like, some of the most iconic lines of all time have come from that. Like, well, I can't even think of any there. That's how iconic they're. But, I mean, they're a little old for my generation. I finally watched them, but they're iconic movies that are part of our American history.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Right, exactly. They're part of our fabric of society. So,
short detour on this. I plan on, when the girls are older, basically forcing them, listen to me, you little shit, you're going to watch this movie. I'm not joking about
do
that.
Do it before they're teenagers, because it's going to be a lot harder.
When they're old enough to like sit through an actual hour and a half movie,
do it when they're still Friday, sweet, though. Don't let them become teenagers, because you're not making them do anything they don't want to do. That's all I'm saying.
But like every Friday is going to be like, hey, Dad's old movie day, and we're going to watch movies. And because God is my witness, they will never be devoid of pop culture references. Because,
I mean, I know a lot of people your age and younger that you make a reference that I figure everyone's ever heard 1,000 times. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, you're stupid. Not me. I don't care how old the movie is. I don't care if the movie's 4 times older than you. You're the stupid one for not knowing it.
And
that's why I love you, man. Because you are you're a millennial. But you know these references most of the time.
There's
going to be some you don't, for
to
sure.
To me, this is like, when we talk about, this is a geek pop culture podcast. This is so important to me because it's a part of our culture.
It is. It's a part of our fabric, exactly.
These things, the zeitgeist, like it would be equivalent to people during, you know, Roman times being like, oh, who's Caesar? Or, hey, that Jesus guy, he was kind of important, right?
Right.
Like, there's a certain aspect of
society. We're not trying
society.
To say it's Jesus, but it is. It's its own fold of society.
Like, oh, Shakespeare, yeah. What, he had a couple hits, right?
Well, you've never seen Gone with the Wind. It was made in 1939, way before my time even. And we both know that sign, that line, frankly, dear, no. I don't give a damn. I mean, what does that tell you? It stood the test of time.
And so
right before World War II, right before we entered World War II, I mean, and that movie's about the Civil War, so I mean, there's significance there, you know. It's
in what we're in to bring it back full circle. Deadpool is one.
We're
of
passionate about this, if you can't tell.
But what I had to say, because,
thank you, because I was going to forget.
What are we talking about? What I had to say, though, because region. I realized it, and it's so perfect, Mickey. During the scene where Deadpool is in, and you probably know his name because I can never forget. Who's the cab driver?
I don't know it. I can't pronounce it.
He's either Indian or he's Middle Eastern.
But you never really hear him pronounce his name clearly.
Why don't I just look it up? Because I got
that's what I'm
right
doing.
Here.
But you never hear him say his name clearly. You know, he says it in passing.
Doppender?
Exactly.
Anyways, so what he says to him
I can't
is,
pronounce it either. That's why I didn't.
Wade Deadpool makes some sort of reference to Christmas, and he says, Merry Christmas, you know, and he leaves. And
Doppender,
he goes,
yeah.
And he goes, and happy Tuesday in April to you, Deadpool. Guess what today is? A random Tuesday in April.
Yeah.
As we record.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Talk about a
fate
coincidence
together.
So just anyway, fate, I just man. Had to I'm impressed that I even remember.
Yeah.
First of all,
I remember the line, but I never would have put that together. Yeah, that's
it's a Tuesday in
it's
April.
Fate, man. That's awesome.
So, anyways,
and to the point, there's just so many lines you can't even keep track. I am a smart ass through and through. That's why Ryan Reynolds is my man crush. But even I can't keep up.
Yeah.
There's just so many of them, and then when they get together, I'm thinking of Deadpool 2 now. But when the group gets together and they take their shots and they're just firing and stuff, and I mean, oh man!
And what it is, and what I realized as I'm watching this movie is there's a lot of movies that are funny at the sake of
right. The
plot.
I was just thinking that. They're funny, but the cinematography, the storyline isn't so great. This has all of it. It's a really good storyline, and it's making you laugh the whole time. That is my magic right there.
When we do a Deadpool episode, I'll dig into it further, but it's even more impressive when you realize how much was cut from this movie, the budget cuts, and actually made it better because they had to streamline things. Ryan Reynolds basically just went rogue and just was like a meme factory, to quote another podcast that I listened to get this movie where it was. Things leaked. Things were, you know, weird things were happening behind the scenes. I mean, when you think about how much he overcame to make this movie, first of all, even happen.
Right.
And second of all, be a success.
Because this is the first one. Nobody knew who the fuck Deadpool was. Nobody knew who this character was.
And here's the thing. He was Deadpool in X-Men Wolverine Origins. And it sucked. People hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's strike one. Strike two.
They really did refer to him as Deadpool in that movie.
Yeah. He was Wade Wilson.
Was Wade Wilson, but that doesn't mean he was Deadpool.
I don't know that they referred to him, but it was understood he was Deadpool.
It was. See, because I knew he was a special...
He was a version of...
Well, I mean, he's a special forces master. I mean, he can kick anyone's ass, combat and all that stuff. But he didn't become Deadpool until they, you know, did the frying thing and basically made him immortal. Right. But, yeah.
They tried to make it a different... So, that's strike one.
Right.
Another movie, little-known movie that you might have heard of, called Green Fucking Lantern, that everybody hated.
Even he kills himself because of it.
That's strike two.
Deadpool kills Ryan Reynolds because of that. Yeah.
That's strike two for Mr. Reynolds in the action or superhero realm of movies.
Because most of the other movies he'd done to that point were rom-coms and those kind of movies.
Guess who was his co-actor?
And then he was in Two Guys in a Pizza Place, for God's sake, with Trailer
Howard. Don't get me wrong. He's had a successful career, but in terms of the social
superhero... he blew up after these movies.
The superhero realm of things, there's no reason why any executive looks at him and says, next superhero hit.
It's been failure, yeah.
Guess who was his co-actor in... the aforementioned Green Lantern.
Meryl Streep. Oh, his wife.
A friend of his.
A beautiful woman.
You may have heard of him. Maybe you didn't hear.
Oh, you don't mean Blake Lively even.
Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah.
That MF-er was in Green Lantern.
Right.
And they both basically, again, to quote Wizard and the Bruiser, crawled through a sewer full of shit and came out untouched.
Nice Shawshank Redemption reference. I like it.
That's
another great movie.
That, to me, speaks volumes to the quality
of this movie.
Of this storyline. And... of this actor. Of Taika Waititi, just offshoot from that. But the fact that they didn't say, we're going to sell out to whatever and make this what we think people... No, we're going to make it Liefeld, whatever his name is. Ryan? No. Whoever created Deadpool, we're going to make it a Deadpool.
Right.
We're not going to cut corners.
Legitimate. He's going to talk to the camera.
He's not going to be censored.
He's going to be able to swear. He's going to be able to be perverted. He's going to be able to do all of it.
Fox said, how do we make this PG-13? We got to get it PG-13.
Right.
And they said, no, this movie cannot be made.
You're cutting the guy's balls off, and he's a pervert. You can't cut the balls off a pervert. You can't do it.
It just...
Not when it's part of his character.
It reminds me of the line again. Of the beginning. Whose balls did I have to fondle?
Right.
Exactly. Some down under. Smooth criminals.
There's so many freaking lines.
Oh, but I guess what I'm saying is, when you realize, first of all, how great... Because it's one thing to be like, this is a great movie. And then you realize, you start peeling back the onion.
What they overcame. What they came through. That's how good it had to be for him to find success after all the failure he tried to overcome.
And the first time that they introduced the Deadpool suit was a recreation of, like, a... who's the guy from, I think, Baywatch? Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
They recreated a Vanity Fair, him sitting in front of a fireplace and a bear rug, and he's sitting there in the Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, so even just those types of things where it's not just like,
references.
Here's a picture of Deadpool in his new outfit. Like, no, they're like, I guess like the guys, the actors and the people who created the like, they legitimately were like in tears when they saw the costume for the first time, because they're just like, this is great.
Well, and this Ryan is what Reynolds, we want. And Ryan, to your point you said before, Ryan Reynolds is so good at referencing other movies subtly, not so subtly, but he makes, you know, like movie lines, he refers, even rips on him. You think Ryan Reynolds got his way because of his acting ability? I mean, he makes these little, even those smart remarks are referring to something else, which just, there's so many layers, there's so much depth to it, you know?
And what I will say about this, and we've talked about this before, you cannot, as much as you can't separate Hugh Jackman from Logan Wolverine,
right,
you cannot separate Ryan Reynolds, because they are one and the same.
Right.
They are one and the same. And I think that is like a self-fulfilling prophecy, whatever you want to call it, but because Ryan Reynolds just naturally, that was his character.
He owned it. It's
and
his.
Go look at it. Go watch a rom-com that he's in. Go watch a movie that he's been in. That's Deadpool.
Right.
And so it was so natural. And the fact that he was like, I love Deadpool. There's a story about some character he was playing, and the director came up to him, handed him a stack of Deadpool comics, and this is how he was introduced to Deadpool.
True.
And he's like, You are
the only person I know who could do this, basically.
But you are Deadpool in this movie, so you might as well learn about Deadpool. Like,
the way
this
you
is
should
who
learn
I'm,
it.
This is who I have vision for this random military movie.
Right. From the basic Bible of Deadpool, you know, the original comics.
Rob Liefeld.
Right.
So,
how he learned, looking at the original stories of Deadpool.
And again, when we talk about James Gunn, and we talk about what he's trying to do in the DCU, this is the way that you do good movies. You don't cut corners. You don't think what the people might... No. You don't think about what the people might like. Think about the stuff that was... the thing.
They stayed true to the character.
Absolutely. And
completely.
That rated R, the swing,
right.
The breaking the fourth wall.
They didn't let the censors, they didn't let the owner. That, like, in our business, when, you know, I was talking to our only architect where I work, which we have 150, we have one licensed architect. And, you know, she was talking about her son, who is really good at drawing, and how he just doesn't want to do it as a job because he doesn't want to have to be told when to draw and what to draw and all that shit. And an architect, you know, they want to be creative. They want to be able to do, you know, make beautiful things. Well, they can't, because the owner makes all the rules. Right. And that's what we're talking about here. The owner of this movie, you know, the production company is going to make all the rules. And they went, no, fuck you. There's a story here. We're sticking to our guns.
Right.
We're sticking to the character.
The fact,
know,
I mean,
good
they
for
cut,
them.
They cut the budget and they were like, whatever.
They
had
it.
No budget for marketing. And Ryan Reynolds was like, I'm just going to make a bunch of Facebook posts. Like, that was literally the marketing for this movie. And
it works.
Right. And it's been working. Like, for everything he does, that's the way he does it. But anyways, so this movie, I think it highlights or it marks a very specific time in the Fox X-Men movie history where you see something that is so good, so refreshing, so, like, popular that I think that because even though the movies were good, there were some good movies, people were getting, it was getting stagnant. And I think this gave it a real shot
of
adrenaline.
This gave it a jolt.
Also, I just want to point it out.
I'm saying Vanessa is fucking gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's hot. I love her. Marina Baccarin. She's on my top five list, by
Gina,
the way. I'm not even married, but I have a top five list.
what is it called?
The Friends thing where Ross laminates his list of five women he can have sex with, the free pass, whatever.
I was thinking Gina Carano, Angel Dust.
Oh,
Gina Carano's in this movie.
Oh yeah,
don't forget about that.
Right.
Like, I could watch her act in every single movie ever for the end of time because she's so good at what she does.
She is, yep.
And she played again who she really is.
Right.
Like, she's an MMA fighter.
Right.
Like, that's her background.
She's badass, but yeah.
She is a fucking badass woman who doesn't take shit from anybody.
Right.
And so...
she's beating the crap out of Colossus.
They are doing something where they're like, let the actors be themselves.
They are, right.
Let them be themselves.
Well, they found the character and they went, who's going to be best at this character? You know, it was just... she is that person, so we're going to put right. her in there.
Let's not jam somebody into an acting role.
Right, and make them figure it out.
Like, the in granted, that's part of acting, but it was, again, we'll cover Deadpool in a future episode, and we'll talk about all those crazy things that happened surrounding this movie. But needless to say, this movie, I think, it was a breath of fresh air in an otherwise, like, I think the Fox franchise of X-Men just was not doing well at this time, because what year was this? 2016?
Yep.
So you got the MCU in full force by now, right?
Right.
It's been 8 years since Iron Man.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that this was a way to keep the Fox franchise afloat.
Right. Oh, and yeah, this was a jolt, like you said.
It was, I don't know. So anyways, I don't have anything else, but anything else you wanted to mention? I mean, tons of one-liners, everything else, breaking the fourth wall. There's so much that just makes this just a good movie. Like we've talked about, like the formula for a good movie, it doesn't take away from the plot at the expense. Like the comedy doesn't.
It adds to it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not just.
It enhances it.
A random one-liner that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Like, it's not one or the other. It all comes together nicely. Did you watch the end scenes in this movie? You have. Where he's. Go. Why are you still here? Go away.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah.
In the theaters I watched.
Right. So you've seen him. Yeah. So that's, I mean, and they don't really. Well, he's tying up loose ends as, you know, doesn't he fight Deadpool or Wolverine, I think? And he kills
the second one.
Oh, it is. Yes, it, that's probably
the time travel.
And I've seen these movies so much.
It's sort of blending.
It's all one movie. But he kills Green Lantern in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
in two.
That's in two too.
Because
two,
it's two? All the time travel stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's going to directly lead into why the TVA gets involved.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, my bad. Yeah. I've seen them so many times. They're combining. Okay. So first of all. One smart, they show his ass in the red spandex with a bullet hole, smoke coming out of it.
Right, what does he say? Right up Main Street?
Right down Main Street. And I mean, there's actual smoke coming out of it. Now, to that point, why does Francis, why does he order his minions to fire at Deadpool when he knows more than anyone that it's not going to do any good? Why are they firing
at
the
guy? What else would you do?
I don't know, but you're not. All the bullet holes aren't going to do any good, you know. So I thought that was weird. Another funny part was Vanessa, his love interest, the beautiful Marina Baccarin, says, "Ride a bitch like Yoda on Luke."
yes. I'm sorry.
I just finish, and then you.
Yeah. No. I want you to finish because it's so good. Because
you're going to finish. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not going to finish.
No, I mean, I meant it a different way.
Oh,
yeah. I'm being Deadpool now.
I'm a gentleman. I'm going to let you finish first.
Aww, you have been married a while. So then Wade says, "Star Wars jokes." And she goes, "Empire." He goes, "It's like I made you on a computer."
Yes.
She corrects him that he says the wrong Star Wars movie even.
Right.
She's where making just, Star Wars jokes.
Man. And I love the reference to the Deadpool whatever he is in X-Men Origins, Wolverine, where there's an action figure of that, and he goes, "This is my most prized possession." And then he grabs the Wham album. Like, it's like a fake out.
Wham.
This is where they earned the exclamation
point. It still makes me laugh every time. Okay, so then anything else? How do they think the soldiers being turned into slaves would cooperate after being tortured? That seemed a little odd.
There was one line that he said something about, like, some kind of a collar that controls them.
Right, and that we learn about that in Deadpool 2, too, where they put that on the kid and Deadpool. Yeah, that's true.
So I think that was the only thing, but there's just suspend your disbelief because it's a fun movie.
But, I mean, when I'm trying to find holes in the movie, that tells you, A, that
not many.
Right. I mean, I've seen it so many times, but I love this movie as much as any other movie ever made, and I'm still trying to be critical thinking, you know?
Right.
The only other thing I have is that Stan Lee is the host at Vanessa Strip Club. That's how he makes his cameo in that
one. Because I remember it in Apocalypse, because that's like a pretty famous one that he's in. Like, I've seen a lot. But
during the JFK stuff or whatever,
Well, during the nuclear launch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Where they're all sitting there watching the nuclear bombs go out into outer space.
So. Right, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. I didn't like that movie that much, so I didn't want to talk about it.
Clearly, we could go on forever, and why we're doing another
episode. I can probably quote the whole damn movie for you if you want, and it's freaking hilarious, and I won't do it justice, and I'm pretty funny, but not that kind of funny.
So I will say this. You know my relationship with Batman. It's a very in-depth, intimate, personal relationship.
Does he return ever?
What's that?
Oh, nothing.
I'm being your relation, and also the like, Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Women's Empowerment Day.
Right.
But what I was going to say is you love Deadpool, clearly. I have a very big, not hard on, that would be weird.
Right.
I do enjoy Deadpool. And it's not something that it's just like, this is kind of this fun. Like, I do, like, Ryan Reynolds is a national treasure. I think that there are many men out there that would leave their wives if they had a chance to spend the rest of their life with Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
But what I was going to say is...
And his wife ain't bad.
Like, this is one of those franchise... It's just, I think, universally...
Could stand all by itself.
Most guys would say, like, yeah. Like,
right. Deadpool, I don't know many people who are going to say they didn't like it. I had a buddy who I don't even hang out with anymore who was kind of insulted by it because I thought it was mocking him. And I'm like, that's his character. He breaks the fourth wall. That's part of his character.
We talked about this during Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Where people were like, they're
mocking the whole thing.
What did they say? They were, what's the word for when you do this to a woman and you're making her a sex object?
Objectify?
They're objectifying Harley Quinn. And I'm like, have you read a comic book?
Right, she's a stripper. That's basically.
Her.
Yeah,
that's her personality, right. Buddy. She's... Like, no. She's... Like, I would be disappointed if she wasn't hitting on Batman.
Well, she's pure sexuality, exactly.
So, to your point,
also smart and evil. Yeah.
To your point, though, understand the core material.
Comics. He's breaking the fourth wall all the time, and he's a pervert, and he's a smartass, and he's just. Break. That's why this character was so much different than all the other ones. He's doing things the other ones don't do, you know?
And that's why
I love Batman, too, because he's one of the first. So he was original and a pioneer. This guy's a pioneer for those kind of reasons so many years later.
And he wasn't invented or written until the mid-90s.
Right. I thought it was 80s, but either way.
It wasn't even until the 90s.
It was early 90s, yeah.
And that's how crazy this is because he's so new, but it's...
Like he's been part of the society fabric.
He doesn't have the limitations of the other, spandex wearing guy. Like he can be modern and not feel forced or feel unique.
Right, exactly.
Like he is just so a modern, And what makes it also really great about what Deadpool is and what he represents is the fact that the merchandising that came along with, and granted, there's merchandising for him. You said, there's a million different Funko Pops.
Pops alone.
And so, we will cover Deadpool. There's too much to talk about. We need to get on to the next movie.
Right.
But it's such a great, it's part of our culture. And it's so good that I feel that it would be... Joy wants to watch Deadpool. I'm not going to let her because there's a bunch of swear words.
Yeah.
But you've got Deadpool Ever After or whatever the heck that one with the what I'm saying, the Christmas special.
The one where they're basically doing a Princess Bride.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, yep. Where Fred Savage is actually in it.
Because that is a...
I have that on DVD.
Because that's a PG-13. And then the other thing that I was thinking about was the 4TV.
But that's Deadpool 2. Telling the story of Deadpool 2 for that.
So, but there's the 4TV version that I really wanted to find so that she could watch it and not be swearing up a storm at daycare the next day.
Perverted and all that stuff.
Or talking about fondling balls. But I guess when she's old enough, this will be on that list of movies that she needs to see it.
Right? Like Gone with the Wind and Deadpool. I mean... If you don't see those two...
When I talk about top 10 movies of all time represents American culture...
Gone with the Wind, Deadpool.
The fact that in, I think it was the second one, he paid a fee to wear the Golden Girls shirt because he was like, I'm wearing this shirt. Like we joke about it, but it is so much a part. Like it's in the fourth wall breaking is like it's American culture
right.
in American culture right. referencing American right. culture.
It's like an 8/16th wall or something. Yeah. Right.
So, anyways, it
yeah
more to the basic we didn't do like a review of it, but or a like a plot.
Everybody's seen it,
but it's so just again. Like we're just gushing about it, but
and there's another one we're going to talk about in the next episode, and we're all leading up to the third Deadpool movie. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is all because Mickey's absolute love for this character and
right
my love for this character,
right.
just not as big a love. Like right. my heart has grown smaller, or
right.
his
mine's
heart is bigger, four sizes. He's the Grinch, and I'm like the first Grinch in the beginning of the
early version.
This is way too complicated. All you need to know is Deadpool 3 is going to be Deadpool versus Wolverine. Yep. Deadpool and yep. Wolverine.
Versus, I think.
Deadpool and Wolverine, or versus.
I mean, I think it is and. You're right.
Is going to be one of the biggest movies of this year.
I think.
And
so.
That's
while they're building
saying,
it up like it.
That is saying something.
Right.
When you have Dune 2.
Yeah.
A movie that Steven Spielberg has high
praises for, right?
So we are being that we have the pulse of pop culture. Like we're very, we try to be very up to date on it. This movie is so going to be so big, it spurred this entire X-Men franchise
right.
Series that we're doing for the
Mickey podcast, which up until now has been all Wolverine. But he's going to have to move over a little because there's another character just as big a deal.
Here's now. The thing, though. I don't think that a Wolverine episode, and we could do it, definitely. I don't think it's necessary because he's in every freaking movie.
Well, right, and that's,
like, but that's what I mean. About him all the time.
He is the nucleus of the X-Men, and yet mm-hmm. Deadpool is becoming just as big a factor.
And the fact, and again, like, we will talk about this in Deadpool 3 because we'll have the time to dissect that movie and right. In a standalone Deadpool. The relationship with Hugh Jackman and everything. But anyways,
right.
anything else? I know, again, we could go another hour on it.
But right. But no,
anything else on
that's more than I thought we'd talk about, to be honest, because I'm combining movies because I've seen it so many times. So, yeah, the next one, X-Men Apocalypse, done in also 2016.
Freaking Oscar Isaac, he's just making his rounds in every single franchise ever that
yeah.
exists ever.
Right.
Like, Oscar Isaac was the main villain of this. Like, I found that out today because I was listening to something about it, and I'm like,
he's oh, in everything now. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
that was him.
Yeah.
This movie, I have a feeling you enjoyed because you're such an Ancient Aliens
yes.
fan.
Yep.
The tie to be like, no, the reason why the pyramids exist and the reason why they did it was because mutants. Brilliant. Just
yeah.
that tie-in. Was just so, I love it.
And it's believable again, like you said.
And I believe if people, depending on how you categorize things, this would be the third movie in a trilogy of the prequel X-Men movies, starting with First Class, then Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. Those three movies could be considered a prequel trilogy of the X-Men movies.
Right.
And so,
in the middle of the franchise. Not at the beginning, but in the middle, after we've established
the prequel trilogy that came after the original trilogy.
Oh, wait, does sound familiar now that I think about it.
In
I
the
think
middle
Stars,
of the...
Star Wars did that. That's right.
Star Wars.
These beers are going down good, don't you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. So.
We're both having strokes.
Magneto.
It's funny how the. Also, almost expected to see Moon Knight during the first part of with all the different references.
Right?
I mean, that you said
right?
that. That was my first note as I'm watching this. So,
oh,
yeah.
My God. I didn't think about
yeah.
that.
Right. But it's Oscar Isaac, too. I mean, it all comes
So the
together.
Guy knows a little bit about ancient Egypt.
Yeah, right.
It's
He's probably, like, you know, Japanese or something, too. I mean,
right. Oh. And so that, but what this movie does is... It makes it so it feels random, first of all, and I will say that. It feels like its own random side thing, but it ties into all the other movies so well.
Yeah.
And
Again, with the villain just feeling like Magneto, a guy that you're just like, this bad guy, right? The bad guy from the first movie. And you're like, he has a kid and a wife and they die. Yeah. And he's pissed. Right. And he lived through the freaking Holocaust.
Right.
Like, how can you not feel for... It's just compelling to a level that just doesn't, like... It doesn't make sense for most villains.
Right. And I didn't know Quicksilver was Magneto's son.
That was a surprise to me.
Well, that means Wanda is too, right? Unless they have different parents.
Oh, man, God. It depends on how you want to look at that.
Who's father, I guess. Yeah.
Which...
Are they steps, brother and sister? Or
which timeline talking about?
Right. They're not always brother and sister, maybe, either, right?
I think they're always brother and sister, but then it gets into the minutia of does Wanda Maximoff exist within the X-Men universe?
Oh, right.
Or does she only exist in the MCU?
When she exists, they're always brother and sister, but sometimes she doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. But just the fact that he's Magneto's son.
That felt a little forced, but
it was weird. Yeah, where the hell did that come from?
Like, and then it makes sense where his mom's like, what are you watching?
Yeah, right. It's something else that I didn't, like, what the hell was it? Oh, what did I miss? How did Mystique leave Magneto's group and why? Where are the others who stuck with him? All of a sudden, it was just him.
Well, and I think that goes back to the convoluted complexity in the criticism of this franchise, because you're absolutely right. I couldn't follow it.
It's hard to keep track of it, right?
I didn't understand how Days of Future Past changed things, but some things were the same.
And why are the groups split up?
But the whole
Cuban Missile Crisis
thing that was like that was a part of this still,
right?
That didn't change.
But why do their outlooks? You'd think the people who have similar outlooks would stick together no matter what time
happened, though.
Well, maybe they're looking at things differently now that things have changed.
Now that you say that, I feel like there was something that happened.
I think you're right, but I missed it, and that's why I wrote down the note.
I can't remember.
And then the next note says, I love Jennifer Lawrence probably even more than Margot Robbie. So apparently I moved on from that thought very quickly because I'm a man, and, you know.
Body paint! She's blue! Her boobies are blue!
I can see boobies. What was I just thinking about? Oh, well, who cares? There's boobies.
You brought that up, and I even said it, like, watching this movie because Michaela was doing something else in the background. I'm like, Jennifer Lawrence is in so... Like, she's in more X-Men movies than she is Hunger Games movies.
Which she's the main star of, yeah. Right.
It blows my mind.
I forgot too, you know. I mean, and she's a huge actress.
I didn't even forget. I didn't know.
Well, right, yeah, that's true. Right.
I didn't realize it.
I didn't know because I didn't
because there was movies, a Mystique that played the older version of Mystique, who was
that's
against
who I'm familiar
them
with.
In the first X.
But I forget she's the younger
X-Men
Mystique.
Movie.
Yeah,
but
I
she's
forget
a,
that.
And you never see that older actress who plays her
as
ever again.
Right. You only see her as Mystique when you do see her. Yeah.
But. At the end of this movie, and again, there's a lot to unpack, but I would just want to say at the end of this movie, it's so, like, heartwarming and, like, wow. Like, and then, like, the redemption arc and everything. Like, it's, again, just a sleeper that just I didn't think was going to be a good movie.
You're almost upset with yourself for not having watched it a lot sooner, right?
Right.
That's how I've been about this whole franchise, the whole X-Men franchise, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I didn't realize Olivia Munn is in this, too. Yeah. That's Aaron Rodgers' ex-girlfriend.
I was going to say, famous Aaron Rodgers. Right. Psylocke?
She looks great in this, too.
That was her mutant name, right?
I think Psylocke? So. Something like that, yeah.
But, again, like, she's not a slouch. Like,
no,
she's
a beautiful woman, too.
Definitely a well-established actress.
Well, not as well-established as some of these people, but, people know who she is, if nothing else. She hasn't been in any real big movies.
And I think that the bigger thing that you...
Psylocke, you're right.
Sophie Turner as Jean Grey.
Right.
That's a huge introduction. Because clearly Jean, she's Phoenix, Dark Phoenix.
A big
everything.
Part of this.
Like, she's been a big part of it from the first
movie. Right, exactly. I mean, so, well, her and Wolverine's, you know, interactions right. alone, you know.
So that, to me, that was also a very confusing, like, Weapon X, Wolverine, and you're like, wait a second, but he knows her. Like, it's like you almost got to just, like, okay.
Write it
either do that or just, I'm not going to try to make it connect.
Right,
I'm just going to enjoy it.
My brain will explode.
I just need to enjoy it.
And that's, we're saying it's hard to keep it all together before it joins the MCU. Well, imagine the poor suckers who have to keep track of all this crap with the Easter eggs and timelines and all that shit. Somebody has to be paid just to do that, I would think.
I feel like
panel of people.
I feel like I'm preparing myself for Deadpool Deadpool and Wolverine.
And Wolverine, you're right.
Deadpool and Wolverine by watching these Fox movies, and I haven't even seen all the other MCU stuff.
Right.
Like,
oh yeah.
And I feel behind.
Right.
Like, because I didn't see Miss Marvel.
Or Echo, yeah.
Or right. Echo, or, you know,
yeah, Miss Marvel.
Secret Wars, or whatever.
You didn't see the movie Miss Marvel?
I watched
the series.
The part of, like, half of the series.
Oh yeah, that was really good too.
But you get what I'm saying. It's right. Like,
and I'm behind. Like, I've seen those.
Shit. Like, I should watch those. Like I should probably watch them before, because I know that there's going to be things that I miss.
Well, now it's because we were watching the MCU up until Endgame in order, but there's all these series now. You can't even watch it in order. I'm trying to catch up, but there's like shows like Deadpool, how many seasons, or Daredevil that it's supposed to
be. Oh, yeah, that side of it, I can't even, I'm not even going to attempt
to. I don't think I'm going to either. I mean, at least not until after I've caught up to everything else, you know.
It's that to me is part of it, but it's not so directly related that it's going to miss.
But then you can kind of skip Echo, because that's part of that, right? I mean.
Right. Maybe I can. I don't know.
You got to prioritize.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes, but right.
Any other? Oh, another line from these movies. There's so many good iconic lines. Just because there's no war doesn't mean there's peace.
Yeah.
Mystique talking to Professor X.
Well, and again, we talked about it in the first X-Men movies. This is very much a direct correlation to racism. And when you
historical
peel
fiction.
Back what the X-Men were and the mutants and what Stan Lee's, you know, frankly, I mean, we try to put labels on everything, but
right.
Progressive, liberal, you know, his mindset about, like, being sympathetic to minorities or, like,
to
this
everybody.
Is, this, again, they're just hammering it home. Humans hate mutants. Hate mutants.
But he's
humans
not going to let that. But Professor X doesn't want the mutants to reciprocate, because then you just have civil war.
And again, just the I'm sure this was part of the comics, the original, and I know it was. I know it was part of the X-Men animated series, but the idea of that, where you have Magneto just saying, kill all humans, I hate them.
Right, they hate us, let's do it, yeah.
The Apocalypse guy, they should be our slaves. And then the fact that he is a mutant and Professor X is like, it's such good storytelling at its core.
Right.
Like, that's where it's like, because it's very easy to be, I'm on Team Blue, I'm on Team Red.
Right.
We hate each other. Let's fight.
Right.
Right?
Kill each other, or kill mutants will probably kill
each other. Romeo and Juliet wasn't about two people that hated each other because they were from different parts of town.
No.
The Outsiders, or the Jetsons.
That was a good movie, too.
What was the Romeo and Juliet modern day?
The West Side Story.
West Side Story. Yeah. Like,
the Jetsons.
The Jets and the Socias.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, you didn't finish the word.
Sorry. but what I'm getting at is that gray, not Jean Grey, but hey, you know, that gray area.
50 Shades
of
Grey? Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Not that either.
It definitely could be a Deadpool reference.
Right.
That gray area of, we don't want people to take advantage of us, but we're not taking advantage of people. We're not going
to. We don't
want to
be hypocrites, right? Like, that's why you got to, Professor X's constant but self-awareness and accountability and going, you know what, we're above this. We got to stay above this or we're going to be guilty of the shit that we hate and the people who hate us.
I do like the line, though, that he delivers at the end of this movie where he talks to Magneto and they're wrapping this whole thing up and he's like, Magneto's like, what happens if they come for you? And he's like, I feel bad for any human that comes.
Well, right, he's still got to defend himself. Like, he's still got to stand up for number one.
We're going to defend ourselves.
Right, of course.
But we're not going to be the people that enslave, and try to be on the offensive of this. And again,
just when they come at us, we'll defend ourselves. But we're not going to do to us. We're not going to do to them what they're trying to do to us.
Right, right. Yeah.
And at the end, when Mystique says, "Quote, you're not students anymore. You're X-Men." I literally got goosebumps. Yeah. That was awesome.
Another, and again, because of the time jumping,
just saying it again. That's cool.
Not the time jumping in the sense of like Back to the Future time jumping, but the prequel sequel time jump stuff.
Right.
It fits good. Yeah. It fits well into the, like, because Mystique would have done that.
Right.
To prepare these characters for who you see them become in the X-Men,
right.
X2, X-Men 3.
And it was cool to see her come back to it from having branched out with Magneto. It's, you know, she remembered her roots the whole time. Right. And now it's like, well, I still have the same outlook, but I realize we have a bigger goal.
Right.
You know, this is all bigger than all of us.
It's almost like Tony Stark, like, saying, you know, we need to put a shield of armor around the, like, they're preparing for the next threat.
What's going to happen, you know? Right? So, yeah. And then I think that's kind of all I really – oh, just another – well, just the cinematography I wrote. It's amazing. It's right. The special effects are amazing. And one other goosebump, it was Quicksilver's ability. They're pretty awesome. Like, but when he's going through and Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics is going on, mm-hmm. that was another goosebump moment. It's just they choose the right music for the right scene. And it's like that song kind of pumps you up, but it's cool how it all fits together.
And that scene,
it really gets you into the moment. You know, you're really into the moment when you're watching.
But again, talking about pop culture, that scene, I had seen that scene. I didn't even know movie that scene came from.
What it was referring to.
But I had seen that scene before.
Right.
So I
think. And I like that song. I mean,
and if you didn't know, Cyclops.
Yeah.
Ready Player One. That was a. Right. I knew I recognized him with something over his eyes, right?
Right.
Yeah. I originally thought he was the guy from Saltburn, but those two guys look a lot alike, but they're different actors. But again, great. I mean, Sophie Turner.
Huge she was cast, in,
you right. know.
Evan Peters again, yeah. Like,
so
did you watch the end credits of this one?
I did not. I didn't know.
Well, no, you know. Well, that's the thing. I've gone the other direction. Every movie I've like Gone with the Wind, I'm okay.
There's boom, mic operator.
Exactly. Gone with the Wind, I'm looking for end credit scenes. Like, no. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I don't even know what the end credit scene of Gone with the Wind.
Right. No,
it would be just, terrific.
Right.
It would be terrific. I would just, I want to see
Deadpool
a series
showing
that,
up.
That literally, like, you know, the, like, Make It Better series on.
Or like Mystery Science Theater 3000 along the lines
but
of that.
I'm saying I want to see some smartasses from a YouTube channel
make the end credit scenes for these
for
old
every,
movies.
Like
Casablanca right. and Gone with the Wind. And, yeah.
Right. Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, right. But all three of those movies are movies.
This is back.
You have to see those movies. Right. He's back with a vengeance. He's got a cape on. So anyway, the end
Jesus will return.
And that's how it ends. It goes to Face to Black. That would be funny. I mean, you're a very religious man and you find the humor in that. That's awesome. So the end credit shows Essex Corp putting in some kind of system or serum. They've got these little serum bottles in a briefcase. Mm. So they're up to something. That's what it
very
is.
Very similar to the Super Soldier Serum. I think that they were trying, like, in the X-Men universe, the Super Soldier, just replace Super Soldier Serum with whatever the heck was in Wolverine's veins.
Right.
Like, because that's how Deadpool is created, was they took some version of Logan's blood.
Right.
And put it in.
Yeah, he's the root for all of it, yeah.
So, same thing with
But now you can
Hulk,
see something
right?
evil is coming from this.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
The Hulk was a botched attempt at the Super Soldier Serum.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that, but
I did. Well, I didn't know it was Super Soldier.
So yeah, so Captain America's Super Soldier Serum.
Oh,
they tried to recreate it, and
but I watched
Bruce Banner.
I watched an episode of What If again because I, you know, I've been trying to get back into that. It's the one where Happy takes some of that serum.
Oh, he does.
I didn't. Yeah, and then he saves Christmas. That's why it's kind of cheesy, but he becomes a Hulk, a red Hulk. But I didn't realize that was a Super Soldier serum.
That's been a Bruce big Banner. Through line of the not just the MCU, but Marvel in general is
sure.
They have been trying to recreate Captain
Rogers. But I never put the Hulk together with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you always knew the Hulk had something with his body chemistry go bad and anger would, you know, but I didn't put the two together.
Yeah. It's just them just trying to recreate the original.
Yeah. Right. Because the Hulk's been around forever, too. You know? Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine was first introduced in the Hulk comic.
Right. Yeah, see, I've been collecting comics for longer than you, but you know a lot more about them than I do.
Only because I listen to the podcasts that talk about them.
Well, you're
not because that. I read the original material.
No, but, well, right. But then I only read, like, I had a lot of Punisher. I had some, like, one of the Spider-Mans or so many Spider-Mans. Yeah. And, I mean, I had a bunch of, like,
Amazing, other Fantastic.
Right, exactly.
Poopy Pants.
I think I had...
Spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. The one, I mean, it was just pure art. It was just beautiful. Not even a lot of dialogue. I'll have to show you those sometime, but, yeah. So...
We should do a history of the comic books because that's a really interesting.
Right.
Just like, why they're in the format they're in.
We'll have to find a way to reel it in, for God's sake.
But
keep it under 7 hours.
This one's clocking in at almost two. So
40 minutes of news.
Anyways.
At least we covered three movies.
Yeah. Right. And Deadpool is one of them. So honestly, we could have talked another 2 hours
just on that. Laughing at the one liners. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So. Anyways,
I'm glad we were able to remember.
Anything else you'd like to just comment on these three specifically?
No. So, speaking of remembering, getting old is mandatory,
but growing up is optional. Thanks, guys.
What kind of creepy person do you have at the end of your show now?